It's already pulled up and ready. I'm so...
Justin's got it pulled up. You know what we say when that happens, everybody? We say, thank the light, everybody. I am Bale Domon.
I am Jax. Who is this fucking pirate?
Exactly. And this is my hetero life mate, Justin. Welcome to our Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion, a warder, if you will, for your journey through all things Wheel of Time.
We'll protect you against the Dark One, Rand's imminent sadness, Perrin's gaping maw. We're here for you.
All right, Justin is going to play us another awesome clip to set us off and get us going. What clip are you going to play for us, Justin?
Just going to play a little clip of the Admiral and Sea, and I believe Moraine is actually there too. And so right after the Eye of the World ends, they're back in Shinar, and Pod and Fain has been captured. So he's in like a dungeon, and Egwene is still naive enough to think like, you know, he's just alone, you know, he's just, you know, they still don't even really believe in like the hardcore, like Dark One-ness. Yeah, you know, like, you know, they can't realize, like, oh, he's just, you know, he's sick, he's insane. It's like, dude, that guy is so deep in the shadow, you know, it's ridiculous.
These boys can be saved.
And, yeah, like, you know, he's not going to be saved, but she would go talk to him. And so eventually, when she's going to talk to him, he somehow escapes. I believe Matt is with her, with Egwene when he escapes. And so Rand's kind of freaking out. He's getting ready to take off. He's already met the Mirren Seat with Lan's little, like, you got to stand tall, sheep herder, and you got to show him you're a man, all this shit. So Rand's like, okay, cool, and I'm gone. But where's Egwene? Oh, she went to see Pod and Fain. Where's Matt? And so he starts looking for them. Some shit starts going on, and he gets to where the dungeon is, and Nynaeve and Matt are both knocked out. Not dead, just knocked out. And Pod and Fain is gone. The guards are dead. And there is some like Trolloc script and other kind of prophecy on the wall. And Varen goes in and reads it. And now she's talking to the Amirren Seat about it. And
what's the book and chapter?
It is Blood Calls Blood from the Great Hunt. It's chapter 7. And I'm going to start it. I might do a little fast forwarding it because I'm, like I said, I'm not sure, but it's like basically Varen comes in and they're talking about how they got to heal Matt again because Fain takes the dagger from him again. Or I don't know if he gets it. That's when Fain gets the dagger and then they take off with the Horn of Valyr. But Matt's knocked out. They have to heal him. And Varen is talking to Suan and Moraine. She starts talking about how they have to heal Matt and what's written on the wall. And basically, through what's written on the wall, she just kind of nonchalantly says, well, obviously, you know, he's the channel. He can channel. And you guys wouldn't be helping him if you didn't think he was a dragon. And both Moraine and Suan are just kind of like, So we're just going to kind of pick it up. They're talking about Shadar Logoth right now and Matt. And then it should head into about how it's pretty subtle. So, you know, it may be a little longer, and I'll stop it once we get to the important part and we can talk about it.
Sweet.
Here we go.
I wonder how many people it can taint in, say, a year. It should be possible to calculate a reasonable approximation.
Varen's talking about if Matt's carrying the dagger loose around the world, you know, how many people do you think that he could infect with it in a year? That's why she's the browniest of browns. It's all about the knowledge, the logic, the fucking why.
Then we must find the dagger, sister. Aglmar is sending men to hunt those who took the horn and slew his oathmen, the same who took the dagger. If one is found, the other will be. Varen nodded, but frowned at the same time. Even if it is found, who can return it safely? Whoever touches it risks the taint if they handle it long.
Because they have the dagger in the chest with the Horn of Valyr, and it shields the evil.
But it would still be dangerous to those nearby for any great time. Without the dagger itself to study, we cannot be sure how much it must be shielded. But you saw it, and more, Moiraine. You dealt with it, enough for that young man to survive carrying it, and to stop him infecting others. You must have a good idea of how strong its influence is. There is one, Moiraine said, who can retrieve the dagger without being harmed by it, One whom we have shielded and buffered against that taint as much as anyone can be, Matt Cawthon. The light only knows how far it will be carried before Agalmar's men find it. If they do find it. I think we must find this Padan Fane, too. There was no need to name the Red Aja. And perhaps, Moraine thought, the Reds were no longer the only ones of whom it was necessary to be wary. What was written on the walls in the dungeon? There were few problems with translation. Most was the usual, blasphemy and boasting. Trolloc seemed to know little else, but there was one part done in a better hand. An educated dark friend, or perhaps a murdral, yet it has the form of poetry or song and the sound of prophecy. Read it to me. Varen ruffled through the pages, then cleared her throat and began in a calm, level voice. Daughter of the night, she walks again. The ancient war she yet fights. Her new lover she seeks, who shall serve her and die, yet serve still. Who shall stand against her coming? The shining walls shall kneel. Blood feeds blood. Blood calls blood. Blood is and blood was and blood shall ever be. The man who channels stands alone. He gives his friends for sacrifice. Two roads before him, one to death beyond dying, one to life eternal. Which will he choose? Which will he choose? What hand shelters? What hand slays? Blood feeds blood. Blood calls blood. Blood is and blood was and blood shall ever be. Luke came to the mountains of doom. Isam waited in the high passes. The hunt is now begun. The shadow's hounds now course and kill. One did live and one did die, but both are. The time of change has come. Blood feeds blood. Blood calls blood. Blood is and blood was and blood shall ever be. The watchers wait on Toman's head. The seed of the hammer burns the ancient tree. Death shall sow and summer burn before the great lord comes. Death shall reap and bodies fail before the great lord comes. Again the seed slays ancient wrong before the great lord comes. Now the great lord comes. Now the great lord comes. Blood feeds blood. Blood calls blood. Blood is and blood was and blood shall ever be. Now the great lord comes. There was a long silence when she finished. What do you make of it? Moiraine asked Varen in a careful voice. Is it prophecy, do you think? Varen tilted her head, peering at her notes in thought. Possibly. It has the form of some of the few dark prophecies we know, and parts of it are clear enough. Even if the seals are weakening, the Forsaken are still bound. Lanfear. In the old tongue, Daughter of the Night. Nowhere was her real name recorded, but that was the name she had taken for herself, unlike most of the Forsaken who had been named by those they betrayed. Some said she had really been the most powerful of the Forsaken, next to Ishamael, the Betrayer of Hope. With all the false dragons that are appearing, it is not surprising someone would try to bring Lanfear into it. Before Luz Theron Telamon met Ilyena, Lanfear had been his lover, a complication we do not need. Other names are clear, too, Mother. Lord Luke, of course, was brother to Tigraine, then the daughter heir of Andor, and he vanished in the Blight. Who Isam is, or what he has to do with Luke, I do not know, however. We will find out what we need to know in time, Moiraine said smoothly. There is no proof as yet that this is prophecy. Brienne and her infant son had both vanished when the Trollocs overran Malkyr. And Isam had been blood kin to Lan, or is blood kin. I must keep this from him until I know how he will react, until we are away from the Blight. If he thought Isam were alive... The Watchers wait on Toman Head, Varen went on. There are a few who still cling to the old belief that the armies Arthur Hawkwing sent across the Arith Ocean will return one day, though after all this time... She gave a disdainful sniff. The Domier of Ron, the Watchers over the Waves, still have a... Community is the best word, I suppose. If they did survive in whatever lands they found, there could well be many descendants of Hawkwing. The Amarlin gave Moiraine a guarded look, obviously wishing they were alone, so she could demand to know what Moiraine was up to. Moiraine made a soothing gesture. I don't know, Mother. I doubt it, though. We know nothing at all of those lands Arthur Hawkwing set out to conquer. It's too bad the sea folk refuse to cross the Arith Ocean. They say the islands of the dead lie on the other side. It seems to me, Mother, that if their descendants still lived, and if they ever intended to return, they would not have waited so long. Then you believe it is not prophecy, daughter?
This is all just to disarm Suan and Moraine. Like, in my opinion, this is completely calculated. She's not nearly this, like, oh, I'm just rambling on about my knowledge of history.
But you will note, Mother, that at least three center around Almuth Plain and Toman Head.
She brings it right back around the dragon.
Voice became deceptively gentle.
She's like,
if Arthur Hawkwing's seed is not returning, then this is not prophecy, and it doesn't matter a rotted fish head what ancient tree is meant.
Fish guts.
I can only give you what I know, Mother, Varin said, looking up from her notes, and leave the decision in your hands. The time of change, of course, refers to the end of an age, and the great lord, the Armorland slapped the tabletop like a thunderclap. I know.
That's a hint.
Well,
she called him the Great Lord
daughter,
without balking at all.
I think you had better go now. Go, Varin. I do not want to become angry with you. Anyone with a little wit and a little knowledge could put together as much. And no one has ever said Myrdral do not have a sly wit. And of course, Varin said calmly, the man who channels must be one of the three young men traveling with you, Moraine. Moraine stared in shock. Not aware of the world? I am a fool.
Holy.
So basically, there's a lot to unpack here. Basically, Varin, she disarmed them enough to keep them talking and was like, yeah, so obviously one of the three young men, meaning Perrin, Matt, or Rand, are the dragon. And not just that they can channel, that they're the dragon. And they're just like...
But she said that earlier, though, already, didn't she? And did they just think she was being...
She was just reading what was on the wall.
Right.
And then she's like, well, obviously the man can channel. It was one of the boys who you brought here to Shinar with you. And they're both all like, meaning that she.
Well, it makes sense, but I could have swore she said something like 10 minutes ago about one of the three boys being a channeler. And then they talked.
Maybe she did, but maybe it was like more vague.
Yeah.
But like basically she was dropping the bomb right there. Like, well, obviously they're referring to a male channeler who is, they think is the dragon. And he's obviously one of the three that's with you. So which one is it? And she already kind of knows. And once you listen to it a little bit further, she kind of like, and like how they're like, oh, she's not aware of the world. She's so much more aware of the world than they are. And that's why I said she's the browniest of browns, because the browns are all about the knowledge.
Earth or down
yeah.
to earth.
Well, no, that they're most of them spend their lives in like a library.
Oh, that's
they're
right.
Just knowledge, 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 knowledge. And one of the reasons why I say the browniest of browns is, spoiler alert, she does some shit that is pretty nefarious over her arc, which is why I love this character, just for the knowledge. And like, think double agent.
It's so funny.
I really don't want to spoil it because it's so good. It's like 15 books in the making good. Because when it hits you, you're like, oh, fuck. And you think about every conversation that she's had, how smart she is, why she knows what she knows. And it's not just because she's smart. You know, it's a little insider trading going, but she's also very, very smart. And she's playing a fucking LFG, baby. She's playing a long fucking game, dude.
And is she, so she's not just gathering knowledge, like she's gathering knowledge to use eventually.
Yeah. There's a certain point later in the books where there is an, let's keep this as spoiler free as possible, there is an Aes Sedai who is really driven, sort of like Moraine, to help Rand succeed.
Oh.
Very strong, very powerful, very respected Aes Sedai, a very no-nonsense bullshit Aes Sedai. Varin is actually at one point literally like, we're making tea, and asks her a question, and she's like, oh, you got the right answer. I don't have to poison you. Because she's that committed to Rand succeeding.
Wow.
But like I said, dude, Varin is one of my favorites. She's the most complex character that's not a main character in the book, in my opinion.
Have we seen her?
Not yet.
We haven't.
She's been cast, I believe.
Okay.
But like she nails this part about, she brings it up, the Shan Chan being in a dark prophecy. You find out through all the machinations that the Shan Chan invasion is literally being spurred by another Forsaken whispering in their, they're not evil per se, but they've had someone whispering in their ear for the last, whether it was Ishmael or another Forsaken, they've had dark influences. And I think one of the ways you see that, and I have an episode dedicated to them coming up, if you're interested in the Shan-Chan, a lot of their vehicles of war are animals. And there's some that some people consider like a shadow spawn type of animal, but they're like trained and like really efficient in what they do.
We should
some of
save
them fly for scouting.
The Shan-Chan. It's going to be hard to save it, but season two.
Right before season two comes out, I want to drop. I have an episode that's just waiting, but I'm not
perfect
ready to drop. Like I said, I'm leading into as much. I'm trying to do background stuff so that like
yeah.
when you see something that kind of doesn't make sense, you know, like, oh man, there's compulsion in this shit. Someone could be like, you know, be manipulated with the power.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So much more things. Like when I read through the first time, I'm just like, that was a weird fucking scene. And then you're like, okay, I get it. Later, like, you know, like seriously.
So that I couldn't believe they didn't have it verbatim because it's so weird. I mean, I know I'll be able to find it if I want, but that like that scrawl on the blood. On the wall, blood calls blood, blood calls blood. That was all written on a wall in blood.
Yeah, part of it by Trollocs and part of it, I think, by Pot and Fane, because part of it's in Trolloc tongue. So she, I think, like, you know, like translate some of it. But the last part that's about basically about Rand meeting up and fighting the Dark One on Toman Head while the Shan-Chan invade. That's like a prophecy. That's like, and there's a, it's ties in with the prophecies of the light and the dragon as well, but they both have very different kind of outcomes and like views on what it means to each side's, you know, plight or, you know, mission, whatever you want to call it. Another thing that was brought up was Lanfear, the daughter of the night. Like Lanfear is going to be really important. I don't see how they get through season two without Varen and Lanfear. And like they said, Lanfear was Luz Theron's love interest before Ilyena. he had, I don't think he was, the way I understand it, they were never like, they were lovers. They were fucking like sex buddies. And because they worked together and they're both strong in the power. And then he got with Ilyena and she was incredibly jealous, hated Ilyena. And one of the reasons why she started looking into this other source of power was because of her jealousy and her ambition about Luz Theron and hating Ilyena. And so you'll see he's mine. She's incredibly jealous, dude. Crazy jealous.
I just found the poem. I don't know what else to call it. They mentioned they called it a poem in this. So I was able to dig it up on the internet and like, it's even just, I was laughing about how much this would be to scrawl on a wall. And now that I'm actually looking at it, it's fucking insane.
Well, what we did is we wanted to make sure the Trollocs wrote in iambic pentameter and made sure the second one was a limerick. And we needed a lot of blood for that. So, you know, we had to really kill and drain two whole big guards to get that.
I know I was going to read it again just to like really take it in, but that's just, I'm going to have to read it again on my own because that is just nonsense.
That's why I love you, man. Continuity. Me and Lisa too, we'll be watching something and like if something's continuity and like, you know, if I'm too stoned, she'll call it out or something. It's like continuity. It's like me and her watch stuff and fucking start to get the twitches from continuity mistakes. Like, guys, wearing a different sweater.
Like, no, no. If he takes one more drink out of that empty glass of water.
Well, and that's something I swear to God, like things have gotten way better. Like you watch some stuff in like the 80s and 90s. You're like,
oh,
his glasses are different. His hair's shorter. He has no beard. It's like one of those things you see in a magazine. Find the eight differences between the photos.
Totally. Yeah. Find the eight differences between every cut. Yeah. It's just those little things. They're just like, no one. Well, and back in the days when you're going to watch it once, twice tops at a theater. And then if you're lucky, you'll catch it on cable twice. And
like, it's so easy to do something well produced nowadays without having to have like a giant budget. It's like you can understand it up to a certain point. Because you're like, well, you know, they just didn't have the tools to fix it. You know, you had one shot at getting this shot because the sun was going down. And it's like, anything after 2012, it's like, quit fucking it up. Get a better editor. Like, come on. Like, just think about it for 5 seconds. Did you watch the movie when it was done and decide, maybe this is not okay?
Well, and I noticed it a lot in time travel movies. Like, I feel like they get to the end of the script and they go, ah, fuck it. I'm like, you know, you can go back to the beginning and rewrite some of that so it makes sense. Like,
yeah, you know, you could give us a little bit more info and that would be okay.
You could do that.
I love how, you know, and like sometimes, you know, less is more, especially if you're, you know, depending on what kind of story you're telling. It's like sometimes less is, I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I want it to be
and
ambiguous.
I'm all for like Terrence. Okay, Thor's going to come and sit on me. What's up, hey, buddy. Thor? He literally just sat on my lap. Can you see this shit?
I did. I can see his big butt honing in.
He just sat on my lap. Hi, buddy. I love you too.
Yeah.
You guys' days are going to get real long when dad goes back to work all the
time. Yeah, yeah.
But several reasons why I picked that clip. Like I said, I think a lot of that stuff is going to be hard to get away from in the second season. So I think they're going to have a few of those things in. And like Varen is so cool because she, you know, everybody, like obviously you could see in that clip, you know, Suan and Moraine were just trying to like, okay, just tell us what you think about your books.
Yeah.
And she's just like, you know, and they're kind of like just waiting for her to get done. And then all of a sudden they're just kind of like, oh, shit, you know, like, oh, God. And like they kind of even dismiss like what she says about the Shan Chan. She's dead on about that. You know what I mean? And like also the stuff that she says about Isom and Luke without like information overload. So Isom is actually like Lan's cousin or uncle, like kind of like that kind of relation from Malkier. And I'm not sure if he exists in our realm or only in the world of dreams.
Oh.
But him and Luke, Luke is this character. So Luke was Tigraine's brother. Tigraine is Rand's mom.
Oh, who's Rand's mom's mom?
So Rand's mom's brother is
Luke. Oh, brother. Okay, Luke.
And Lord Luke will show up probably book 4. He's a hunter of the horn. And nobody knows who he really is, but he is brother to Tigraine, which means he's technically Rand's uncle.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And then so Luke and Isom are these like kind of two souls attached to like one body because they both are kind of in Luke's body. And Isom, when Luke goes into the world of dreams, he's Isom. When he's in the world of the living, he's Luke. Does that make sense?
Okay.
And, no,
Luke.
This Luke and Isom are kind of two people in one, and Lan is related to Isom. Rand is related to Luke. I'm not sure how they get tied together.
Oh,
we could probably do a whole show on that. I haven't figured it out.
Wow. Yeah.
But news, they're both bad guys, and so Perrin has some major battles in the world of dreams with Isom / Luke.
How? I mean, I guess Rand is that powerful that he can probably mask it to some degree. How does the battle at the Eye of the World happen and every Aes Sedai doesn't know that he's the fucking one that Moraine is hiding?
Because the only people who are at the Eye of the World is our Eamon Fields 5, Lan, and Moraine, and she doesn't tell anybody about it.
But that much power? Moraine?
Rand was the one channeling. It's Sidine. Women can't feel it.
Oh,
so they may have felt some sort of a shift or like, oh man, something's going on. They would have no idea it was that.
They can't
without
read
actually...
it the way they can feel a boom in the power.
Yeah, but
they can't, but
they won't even really
it.
Feel that because it's the male half. So they might feel like a ripple or something like that. Was weird, but they really aren't going to get that big of a clue unless they're A, close enough in proximity to like see it. And when you get to that end of that battle, that is another thing. It's kind of like it's in the real world. There is some kind of in-between reality stuff when Rand travels. And so like you kind of realize by the end that Rand is more than human, in my opinion. He is the kind of incantation of the creator. And like once he
is Sidene.
Yeah, like is kind of, dude. It's like by the time, and that's what when Lanfear started to kind of look for something else. The true source is made up of Sidene and Sadar, male half and a female half. But if you want to challenge, there is another way. There is another one they tapped in, basically like the Dark One's essence. That's the true source, the real shit. And it can be channeled by male or female. but it's kind of its own thing. Like, instead, like, if you want to travel with Sidene or Sadar, you kind of like rip a doorway in the pattern. If you want to travel with the true power, you just kind of like fold up on yourself and disappear. And so I'm not sure the mechanics of that. It's not a thing I'll be researching, but.
So Sidar is it. Hang in with me, everybody. I swear I'm paying attention, but there is so, so much. So I keep thinking.
It's complicated.
I keep thinking that the male half is tainted Sidar. And it's not. Sidar and Sidene are completely different. So, but then there's the true source. The true source. So does that mean that Sidar is, they're both a little bit tainted from the.
No.
From the.
The true source, when you really, when you really start to tap into that true source power, I believe that's actually kind of, it's like, it's pretty connected to the dark one. I believe. It's like, and like, because I remember, like, I can't remember, but like, I hear, like, when Rand kind of starts to channel it at a certain point, because he's cut off from Sidene. That's why Lanfear went to the dark. That's why the ones who weren't as powerful went for it, because it's very seductive.
Yeah.
The dark side of the force, man. I need to get that lightning, son! But like I said, I feel like that clip covers a ton of shit that I think that we could kind of see. You know, it talks about the Shan Chan. You get a little Lanfear, which I said is going to be kind of one of the episodes coming up in the next few weeks. Kind of trying to tie characters into like talents in the power or large events that hopefully will give people a little background. If they happen on screen and they're going to be, you know, you want some mystery. But I think when they try to first do it on screen, other than maybe seeing the power slightly, it's going to be a little confusing. I know reading it was like, and then once you get a little further, you're like, oh, and then you have to go back. You're like, wait, but who was it then? Or like, who was doing that? Or like, what, you know? And like, so it was like, was it Forsaken? Was it Black Aja? Was it something else? It was like, what?
So speaking of Jedi shit, explain this to me. They said, like you said, I was trying to pay attention to all of it, but I couldn't. But one of the things from the passage you just played that jumped out was they, most of them are named by those they betrayed.
Yeah. Or some of them have picked their own name, kind of like Lanfear, I think, chose her own name because she used to be called Marin. People started calling Ishmael Betrayer of Hope. I think he might have decided to call himself Ishmael.
But who, what group does that? The Dark Friends, the.
I think it's like the population in general.
Really?
It's almost like, you know, you had this name when you were not minion of the devil or the dark one. And now, you know, they usually kind of chose new names as they went over, or some people gave them like nicknames like.
But it's the one you betrayed. So like Desmond fucker over of Jestin.
I didn't get that. Maybe I'm missing that. I don't know.
Maybe I misheard it of something, but it sounded like they.
What
took,
made you think that? Like.
Like the when.
Oh, in are you talking about the poem? No, they say something about betrayer. Ishmael is also known as the betrayer of hope or the betrayer. So they're just referring to Ishmael.
Oh, if it's in the poem, then.
You talking about the poem?
Well, I don't know. Like I said, it's one of those things where. I was trying to listen to everything, but, you know, you hear something and you start thinking about it and you miss half a paragraph and then you jump back in and listen again. And so that was just one of those things. Oh, here it is. Oh, no, it is. It is in there. It is in there. The other Forsaken were named by those whom they betrayed.
Huh. I think that just means like the populace, like the other Aes Sedai and stuff like that.
Okay, I'm just going to read this paragraph then so I can try to make sense of it. And maybe Varen points out at the line, daughter of the knights, she walks again and says that this can only mean Lanfear is loose or that someone wants them to think she is. Suan says that the Forsaken are still bound, even if the seals are weakening. Lanfear means daughter of the night. And she is remembered for being the only Forsaken to name herself. The other Forsaken were named by those whom they betrayed.
I'll have to do some research on that.
Yeah. And who, daughter of the night, who's Lanfear? Did we meet her in that or are they just talking about her?
So Lanfear was, you haven't met her yet. She's like Luz Theron's lover back in the day. And actually.
Oh, is that.
She has ties to Rand's Aiel side of the family because the Aiel used to be the servants of the Aes Sedai in the ancient times. So Rand's family was actually tied to Lanfear when she was an Aes Sedai. And then on the other side of his like genealogy is Luz Theron, who she was madly in love with and like incredibly jealous and obsessed with. This story is fucked up and layered. It's a good thing that there's podcasts about it.
Fuck yeah. Especially ones as good as this. Where you got a smarty like you and a dummy. You don't just have a bunch of dummies who know what they're talking about what they know how to talk about.
Oh, I'm a fucking dummy, bro. It's just, you know.
Well, you're the dummy with more information than me. I'm the, speaking of dummy stuff. So, do you have a couple more bullet points before I do my book update for the episode?
Like I said, there was a lot to unpack on it. Mostly was just like, you know, like Sue Ann and Moraine, they think they're so fucking slick. And they're literally just like waiting for Varen to finish talking when really she's one of the only people who's sussed out exactly what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
And everybody else is too involved in their own shit and their own power plays to realize that Sue Ann and Moraine have been planning this, or, you know, at least looking for him. And once the rest of the people find out that Sue Ann. Why do I keep saying Sue Ann? What is she, a fucking pig farmer in the South? I'm a pig farmer, Sue Ann. Swan Sanche. Once people figure it out, it's kind of like, dude, you're the person who's supposed to be on top of this shit and you've been like helping him. And it's like I think there's going to be a lot coming up about not just the dragon, but like how different factions, different countries, different people react. Because some people are just like, oh, the dragon. And it's like a cult that's drink the fucking Kool-Aid. And other people are like, no fucking way is this happening. And, you know, the tower has already got these cracks in it. And with the news of Rand, the Black Aja, it's about to just burst at the seams. And it's like, that is going to be something that I think will actually be much better in the show, because it definitely gets some like Game of Thrones type of intrigue because of the what ends up happening in the tower and the you know, political kind of power grab and, you know, who's kind of puppet mastering everything. I think that will actually be better in the show, because that was when Robert Jordan was kind of starting to fade and it was a good storyline and I don't think he was able to do it justice.
Because
there was a lot of setup for it through for Egwene and, you know, these like kind of like rebel faction of Aes Sedai, and like there's a lot of setup for it and then it's like a lot of nothing, you know, a lot of more setup for one big moment. I think they could have, you know, I think with some tweaks will be much better in the show. That's pretty much it. Like that clip is just kind of showing you, you know, the depth of her character, and like by the end you'll see she's gotten the knowledge that she's gotten and where she's gotten and how she's gotten there because of her commitment to the knowledge. And it's fucking,
I can't believe this is like half a book away. Like if you told me that was 10 books away, I'd say, yeah, that makes about sense. Well, I know her story is, but the paragraph we just read is half a book.
Is the beginning of the next book, dog.
I know.
More or less, chapter 7.
I'm way past the middle, finally. I still have, again, I feel like I'm making some headway on this fucking book, and that time remaining still haunts me.
Yeah, let's put Varen to bed. Who's this fucking pirate motherfucker? I get a text today, guys. Hey, family followers. Who's this fucking pirate? And I'm assuming you mean Bail Doman?
Yeah. So I'm listening. Hang on. Let me paint the picture. So I'm listening to the book the way I normally do. Like I'm trying to listen as much as I can, but I also have,
oh, because you're listening to it, right?
100 fucking hours of this to listen to. So sometimes I have to drive around and do errands, and I do my best to not get distracted, but it fucking happens. And now this dude's speaking in pirate language, and it's just,
it doobie.
It's so.
He likes doobies.
He like doobies?
Get this though. Apparently, so they're reading it that way, but when I read it, you know, that "Arr, matey," that's what I'm hearing in my head.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's supposed to be a Dutch accent.
That sounds. Yeah, I think he's reading it Dutchy with a
tin of Scotsman and
well, it's just
Jamaican.
It's just gravelly, you know. It's a little.
Yeah, I think it's more like that. He's supposed to be from Ilion. That's a place where they a lot of people don't believe in snow.
Oh yes, 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 yeah.
And he because he's like a pirate and a he's a merchant pirate, whatever.
Yeah,
he goes all the way up north to where the snow is, and people are like, "Tell me about the snow again." But yeah, so Bale Doman, they run into him as they're leaving. When they're leaving Shadar Logoth, actually.
Yeah, so they're so Shadow Logoth was obviously way different. I mean, I guess this isn't spoilery because it's in the book. Does Matt have the?
He's got the dagger, just nobody knows it.
Okay, even the reader, even I'm not supposed. That's what I was wondering. Did I miss it?
No, I don't think you realize he has the dagger.
Because they definitely mention a couple times of him like going through some shit. And like, you know, he's definitely got his hand on some gold at a couple times. And I keep waiting for them to say like, and this is when he, you know, picks up a dagger and hides it away.
Yeah, he snags it when, so you've gotten to the scene where there or Mordeth or whatever is like, I need to get my treasure out of the city or whatever.
Yes, yes. Yeah, they're wandering around forever. Like, yeah, like they totally like.
Yeah, he snags it from that room.
Okay.
So whereas in the show, he just kind of wanders off by himself and, you know, finds it. They're in a room full of treasure in the book and there's shit everywhere. And Matt, you know, pilfs something really quick.
Yeah, I'm glad they cut that down. Like that was, you know.
You would have had to spend a lot of an episode on that scene to make it worth it.
Yeah, and the whole thing is just that you're in this creepy place and you get creeped out and like to have downtime in that fucking death trap was just unnecessary.
It's a little more like book realistic as opposed to TV show realistic. I totally agree.
Yeah. And I do agree with you, like the misty shadow, whatever that is, the stuff that's chasing them.
Seems a lot fucking scarier, but I mean, I'm not mad at how they did it because I think that's probably,
yeah,
it's like, what is fog supposed to be scary? What? Like, I don't get it. And it's like, it probably might have looked a little hokey trying to do it with the fog. It's like, you know, CGI, I mean, even though it's way better, it still might not have.
Well, even like just, black, like I was thinking like the smoke monster from Lost, like something like that.
Oh god, you're gonna kill me. I literally have never watched one episode of Lost, so I have no idea what you're talking about.
The smoke monster.
You're like, go fuck yourself.
This is like, this is the end result of Lost. Lost is the reason I got into podcasts, right? Because I started watching that complicated show and I was like, I need 10 podcasts to figure this out, and now I'm doing the show that I'm going to need hundreds of podcasts to figure out. And we're going to get to all of them, folks, including the next one.
Oh, it's happening. I'm ready to roll.
All right. We're going to do a double up. Well, not for you out there, folks. We're going to bring this one to a close.
But that's all you got about Bale Doman? Just that he talks funny? No other questions?
Oh, yeah. Well, that, sorry. And just like my biggest concern.
Sorry to interrupt your wrap up, but I mean,
yeah,
like, what the
no.
Fuck?
No, that was perfect. Cause I got lost looking for something and then,
put the mouse down, guy.
I never really, really got back. Well, I was trying to find the chapter cause I wanted to double check his name cause I'm not going to listen to the whole thing. So I kept trying to find the chapter on fandom. And again, these fucking chapters are so convoluted that even digging through a summary of them is impossible to find.
I know, dude, because you'll get some books. Well, you know, you'll get a pretty clear POV from like one character per chapter, and there's other books where you might have three POVs in a chapter about maybe a similar event, or sometimes maybe different events, but they're happening at the same. Like it's, yeah,
yeah. We have I have two narrators now on the audio book. Like now, depict because now
yeah,
that there's basically
female.
Yeah, exactly. And there's basically the Moraine reader and the Rand reader. But no, the biggest thing I was curious about was like, this motherfucker better come back. A, because that means we'll meet him in the show and I want to see this motherfucker. And B, we're spending way too much time getting to know this motherfucker if he's just going to throw him off the ship at the next stop. So Bale Doman
no,
will be back.
Bale Doman sticks around till the very end. And that's why I really hope that, you know, I know they're going to have to like trim stuff, but they can't. I hope they might have to combine him with somebody. I don't know who they would combine him with per se, but he's an important character to the very end. Like he becomes, he's an important part of, shortly he's a part of, he's a, you know, he was a pretty important part of Rand and Matt's, you know, first book arc. But then it's like, you know, it's one of those things. It's like, they just, this group of people that's, you know, centered around this really important fight for humanity. He just keeps finding himself around them. And he's like, fuck, I just wanted to take my ice peppers, the alien, and make some money. I like wine, collecting old things. He ends up, you know, like he's a very important character. So I really hope he gets to stand alone.
And in a book full of weird, full of characters, Bale is fucking, he kicks it up a notch. So
he's a great side character for sure, who's also very important.
Thank you everyone for listening to this episode of Thank the Light. If you have any questions or comments about the Wheel of Time, I guess just in general, I was going to try to narrow it down, but we're just going to leave that.
If you need parenting advice, if you want to know what strains of weed are good for sleeping or anxiety, or if you need something to just unlock your creativity, you can hit us up at Parched by Ailment on Twitter, or, you know, Thank the Light, what is it, at Gmail, right?
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. That's a good point. That's a good point, Justin. Any, ask us anything. A-N-A all day. That's Thank the Light.
Like, I'm a big fan of myself. I'm a big fan of you. And I mean that in the most non-arrogant way. I've been through a lot of shit as a parent. I've made mistakes. I've done things that I think are good. I'm sure you're learning that now. Sometimes it helps to talk to...
I am currently making the mistakes.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it helps to just fucking get a second opinion. And, you know, that's why we're here.
Thank the Light. We're your second opinions. And if you want to check out some other... if you want all the answers, we have a lot of the answers. If you want all of the answers, go to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out that great podcast along with other great podcasts on there. And as Justin mentioned, we are Wolf Brothers at Parched Ailment on Twitter. That is at Parched Ailment on Twitter. May you always find water and shade.
That's right, Wetlanders. Check you out next episode.
You don't just have a bunch of dummies who know what they're talking about what they know how to talk about.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Blood is and blood was and blood shall ever be.